Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman. And as you know, with Earth Wisdom Circles, my attention and intention is to stretch your thinking, stretch your mind, stretch your heart, stretch your ability to grasp what this beautiful life is all about. And today is an extraordinary opportunity for you to hear and listen to two wonderful women and the book that they co-authored. It is called Beyond Ever After. My guests today are Catherine Weisenberg and Jocelyn Montanaro, who had an extraordinary experience, and I will allow them to elaborate on that, but to really know, to be open to this information, because there is so much that we don't know and so much that we need to know. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Well, good afternoon.
Well, I would like to begin with Catherine, if that's okay, because Catherine, since you are the scribe of what is called God Writings, if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and how it is that you do what you do, and then how you met Jocelyn.
Okay, well, for 30 years, I have had the unique skill set to be able to communicate with God, deceased people, and people in comas. And the form that takes is writing, a written dialogue. However, I just do that to retain a record of the writings. And basically what I'm doing, Elaine, is just tapping into what I think is like a stream of energy that's around us at all times. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I'm able to put my hand in there and pull out information. And that's what Jocelyn and I did. Jocelyn's husband, Kevin, was in a coma. He had been in a coma for 26 days following a brain surgery. And he wasn't waking up. Jocelyn was a complete skeptic and desperate. And her sister had worked with me and was a big proponent and said, you know, let's give this a try. Would you be open? And Jocelyn was like, no, no. But then she acquiesced. And during that writing, she's a lawyer. Her husband was a lawyer. And she gave him test questions and he answered them. And more miraculously, during that phone session, he roused himself out of that coma, albeit short-lived. And then she continued to talk to him he went back into a coma through his dying process and after. And the God writings are always unique to the individual. It's not just a generic message, I miss you, I love you. It's actually dealing with very deep kind of life challenges, psychological issues, challenges, growth, transformation. The energy of the writings is always transformative.
Well, thank you for that explanation, Catherine, because what is so beautiful and how you describe that ability to reach in is, if we kind of think of like the cell waves that are moving around us all the time, that you just happen to be like that telephone receiver that answers the phone call. It's not that it's not present.
Absolutely, Elaine.
Yep. So thank you for that. And Jocelyn, please, if you would be so kind as to share with us your personal experiences and how I just could not put the book down when I was reading it this weekend. And I just wanted to share how beautiful it was that you were so honest with being quote unquote pissed off there. You know, I can say that on the air because it's a reality that this is what happened. And you were just in the midst of life-altering situations. So tell us from your perspective, Jocelyn, what this was like for you.
Well, of course, it was horrendous with my husband dying, but having these experiences with the writings really did transform my whole life. And because before, you know, I didn't really believe in God or anything much that I couldn't have a direct experience with. And but my husband was very much a spiritual man, and But through these writings, I being able to talk to my husband when he's in a coma, and then after he's died, of course, I have a completely different perspective on all of that. But more importantly, because people always ask me, Elaine, you know, what's the takeaway of the book? And for me, and what I hope other people get when they read it, is that I don't worry about dying anymore, and that is huge. Most people fear death, and Kevin said in one of the writings that death wasn't a failure, but I think everyone looks at it like that. It's like you've lost something, but I don't feel that way anymore, and I don't worry about it. And to go through life not worried about what's going to happen after is really freeing, and I don't sweat the small stuff much. I don't sweat the big stuff much either, and I know that everybody's okay. You know, I'm okay, you're okay, my kids are okay, even with all the challenges they have, that in terms of the universe, they're fine and everything is fine. And it just gives me a great sense of comfort to know that. And since my husband died just recently, my mother was dying and I was helping her with the process. And I just kept saying, you know, Mom, I'm not worried about where you're going. It's all going to be fine when you get there. She had any much of a spiritual foundation. But it's just been my takeaway from it.
Well, thank you. And you know, I can appreciate where you're coming from, because I began the work that I do when I was actually working in hospice. So I can appreciate the intensity of, you know, the desire to try to preserve life from the allopathic model, and our own feelings right. of loss, you know, our belief that this is the end. But I think what is so beautiful about how you both so eloquently, and actually it's a four-way conversation, God, Kevin, right. Jocelyn, and Catherine. And really, isn't that what life is all about, to have conversations that we're really meant to be here to learn? You know, we're here to learn. This life is a school. And what we have an opportunity to do is to relinquish our fears so that we can actually begin to live, truly live.
And that's something I see with in the writings over and over and over again is that encouragement to live every moment with your heart open, and also that there's more consciousness than we have any awareness of in this kind of 3D reality, and that spirit and the spirit of God, the creator, whatever you want to call it, the universal love, is always with us, surrounding us, as well as those we love. And you read the book, so you know there's lots of those stories of how that connection's made, how our loved one sends us signs.
Yes.
And encouragement to believe in our own direct experience of connection mm-hmm. and divine love.
And, you know, Jocelyn, what I found so interesting is, you know, there's so many, your book is so rich with metaphors, but the thing that struck me this morning as I was preparing to, you know, to think and talk with both of you is the fact that you and Kevin were both lawyers, but although he was a mediator, so that was very different in terms of being a litigator or someone who his focus was, how do you resolve a problem, I would assume.
Yep.
And yours, you know, also being the same profession, but how you would have to be perhaps more involved with the confrontational aspect of our human stubbornness, you know, whether that is, you know, whether that is because of a divorce, if I'm not mistaken, you were a divorce lawyer. And then, of course, if you had to have any criminal things, you're mm-hmm. what we forget to see is that, you know, when people are criminals, it's because they deny love. They believe that it is not there for them, so they act out. Or when they forget to honor a relationship that has been worn out or whatever no longer works, instead of battling that, it would be wiser to let each other be free. So I imagine it would be so much more, you know, you as a litigator and you as an attorney, the challenges that you're seeing every day, how you can bring such a greater awareness of what's really happening here instead of fighting it all.
Well, it's all through this. It really was a complete sea change for sea change for me. And one thing I wish I had said before, so I'd like to say it now, is that the one I know that I don't have to subscribe to any particular religious belief,
yes,
to be able to have an afterlife, a new life experience. Kevin, through the writings, doesn't call it afterlife. He calls it, God calls it new life, that it's not,
yeah,
the afterlife my husband,
mm-hmm,
went to. It's a new life, making the emphasis on that life being, you know, like not after the life that counts, but just the new life. And I know that, you know, I don't have to say a particular prayer, belong to a particular religious group, or believe in any particular thing to get to go to this new life. That God's love is so expansive, it doesn't matter what my personal beliefs are, because everybody gets to have that experience.
That's
everybody.
Right.
And I know that, at least because there are a lot of people up there that I know are having a new life experience that had no religious beliefs and really weren't that great when they were having this particular incarnation down here. So that also gives me great comfort, because there are times that I still get mad at God. I still walk around looking up going, really? Get pissed off. And I know he still loves me. He loves everybody. He loves me. He loves everybody. And I don't get in trouble for being a human and making human mistakes and having, you know, human faults and this human experience, because we all have one. And knowing that the love is so expansive and encompassing that I'm loved no matter what is just a huge source of comfort and inspiration to me.
Well, I love the fact that you both have put new life in there. And you, as you said, Kevin was very adamant to make sure it was called new life, because if we think in our own lives,
well, that actually was the God writing,
exactly,
that described it that,
yeah,
way.
Yeah. And so from our childhood, we have, when we reach our youth, we have a new life than we did when we were children. And when we're an adult, we have a different life than when we were in our youth. So it is always a continuum. Every day is a new life, truly.
Right.
And
absolutely.
If,
it's an invitation.
And you know, it's so interesting, and I found this so compelling, and I was kept being drawn back to, you know, how we get mad at God. And what we recognize, or what maybe we should recognize, is we should get disappointed, perhaps, in the human choices, rather than being mad at God for the circumstances that humans are often involved in, you know. And so, and because how else are we going to grow, and how else are we going to get out of here, you know, out of this experience, unless we have an exit strategy? And whether that's a quick illness or a quick death or a long death, whatever it is, that's our exit. You know what I'm saying?
And also, you know, just as Jocelyn said, that it doesn't matter, and that's what God has said repeatedly.
Yes.
It doesn't really matter your religious orientation that you, but what does matter, and this point is also talked about in the book, is your belief system. People have this idea, we die, we kind of go through a car wash, we come out spick and span, and really, you know, I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these God writings and with people who have died. And the thing that really also matters is what our beliefs and what we expect we're going to be receiving. So how we set our lives and the way we live here does have an impact after we die. It does. Kevin was a Christian, so when Kevin died, he, in the book, we won't give it all away, talks about meeting Jesus,
mm-hmm,
for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so these things that we do and how we set ourselves, just like here, you know, when we expect to see stuff, we go around and imagine, and we find evidence to support that. And death and that transition is not that much different in the sense of our beliefs set sort of what that death experience is going to be. And to really address this, in the book, there's an opportunity where I go to hospice and facilitate Kevin being able to say his last goodbye to his children. And, you know, we all kind of wait thinking we have enough time to tell people how we feel about them, or the things that influenced our lives. And he and Jocelyn and their family were given another opportunity, a last opportunity, for him to share things that Jocelyn said she never really knew, that he had never really in that much depth shared with her and his family, like his credos for life.
Well,
so we'd all be well advised to do that every day.
Yes. And two things I'd like to say is I hope that you'll consider writing a book about what happens to those individuals who die or who've had very traumatic experiences in their life through no fault of their own. So if they may be a child who's abused or whatever, maybe write about something like that. But I want to jump aside from that. But Jocelyn, what I'd like you to share is I experienced the death of my mother when I was very young. So I appreciate, and it really brought me back to the moments when my mother died when I was 13 years old. So I want to know, how did this information affect your kids?
Well, you know, when we did the hospice, when I did the first one or two with Catherine, they were skeptical, of course, and not really happy that I had done it, because my husband was a Christian and they had Christian educations and knew the Bible passages that reference these abilities sometimes as being not good ones, mm-hmm. you know, of the devil, so to speak. So they had kind of some views of what it might be, that it wasn't a good thing. But then when we had the hospice writing and they were able to talk back and forth with him, when that writing was done, we were all just kind of stunned. They didn't think that that was going to happen. They couldn't believe that it actually did just happen. But since then, in the years since then, they encouraged me not to continue with them, because they said, you know, you now know it's all good, and we all know it's all good. And they had some concerns that kind of a long-term thing would stop me from moving on with my life, and mm-hmm. and which it hasn't. And also that they kind of feel like I was just blessed to have this, and kind of why me, you know, which I wonder too, you know, why did I get to have this wonderful experience? Because there's only one Catherine, and there's a lot of people who could benefit from something like this, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons why we wrote the book. Kevin always wanted to take a missions trip, and after he died and Catherine and I became really good friends, and I just wanted to share this. We both wanted to share this because of how much it helped me. And even though I know other people won't have this exact direct experience, we both tried to convey it as authentically as possible so they could kind of enjoy it, you know, come on the ride with us and hopefully have the same kind of transformative experience that I did.
That's beautiful.
And
Catherine,
I'll also share. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, please go ahead.
And share the spiritual wisdom. The book is really a spiritual book in many ways. You mentioned books about people who die traumatically. I deal with people that children have committed suicide. I've had to deal and come to the deathbed of people who are at the last stages of their lives. But the conversations with people who are dying are a small portion of what the God writings do in talking about how we live and transform ourselves. Mm. Things like fear and death and our own growth and expansion. So,
well, thank you. And I think that what's so important and what is so evident in the book and all of the beautiful nuances of every one of you speaking, God, Kevin, Jocelyn, and Catherine, everyone has their own unique voice and unique perspective, which you can see and feel the personalities as you're reading. But what's so beautiful, as you just mentioned, Catherine, is the transformation, the transformative process. When we stop looking at ourselves as damaged in some way, or if we stop looking at ourselves as different in some way, then we really can begin to transform all that we see in our world. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I've seen it hundreds of times with people.
Mm-hmm.
And one writing can change a complete trajectory of someone's life, just like one event in our lives, for good or for ill, can sit us in a whole new direction for ourselves.
Yes. Again, I want to reintroduce both of my guests. They're the authors of Beyond Ever After, Catherine Weisenberg and Jocelyn Montanaro. And so the book is available on Amazon, correct?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. So we do have that on the website so that when people listen to this. And again, what have you found? What is the feedback that you've received from others as they've read this book and have witnessed, especially those close to both of you, witnessed firsthand how everything has changed in your life, in particular, Jocelyn, as because you said you were just, you know, you were ready for a fight all the time. How, well, you know, I think that's part of a character of someone being a litigator. You have to be ready for a fight, right?
Yes. And I think she came by it naturally, too.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's okay.
That's naturally.
Okay. That's okay. You know, we have to have those, as one of my sisters says, be a lover, not a fighter. But, you know, but thank you. How have you found that individuals have watched your transformation, and without having necessarily gone through the depth of the sorrow and changes that you physically and personally had to go through, how that is reflected into their lives for them?
Well, the people who've known me before this and through this and after this have told me that I'm just so much different now than I used to be, that I'm just much calmer, which probably isn't being conveyed right now, but apparently I was much more high-strung before, that I'm just calmer and I'm happier and I don't seem anxious. And I know it's because I know that the universe has my back. You know, it does. No matter what happens, it has my back. And for people to see me change like that, it does influence and change them, because you can't not be close to someone and watch them go through an experience and see how it changes them without incorporating some of that into yourself, just by virtue of kind of living that experience with them.
Right.
So I think it has changed the people around me.
And most importantly, we want to share what is Kevin's message. What would you both say is Kevin's most poignant message now that he was more of himself, not being in his physical body, that he could manifest through the words that Catherine was able to write? What is the message that Kevin would like to share?
Throughout the book, you see throughout the book that Kevin is ready to die. He's not afraid to die. That's people's number one fear, is death.
Yes.
And Kevin is trying to get Jocelyn throughout the whole entire book, and even after his death, to say, this is natural. This is not bad. This is, I'll still love you. We'll be reunited. God's told me we'll be reunited. So his whole message is, and as you know, we won't spoil the end of the book, but there's an epiphany Jocelyn has. But his message is, he lived a faithful, good life, and he had no fear going into death. And you know what? That's the feedback more and more, by and large, that people are not afraid to die when they read this book, or they're not thinking their loved one went into the black void and they don't know where they are. Mm-hmm. So the kinds of feedback we've received is that through all the writings in the book, and there's six of them, is exactly what Kevin's message was. And Jocelyn would say, what's Kevin's personal message? If I didn't glean that, what would you say, Jocelyn?
Well, for me, it's always been all about Kevin. And so, you know, the message for me is I get to be with him as soon as, you know, this existence is over. And I think about that all the time still. You know, I'm going to cry. I still miss him so much.
Of course.
And, you know, I'm just, but he's always around, you know. In the book, there's a lot of these divine synchronicities. I know we're running out of time, but he always sends me little messages all the time. And usually there's a squirrel involved, but you'll have to read the book to see that.
I love that. I love that.
But he's always around me. And you know, it's funny, I'll be thinking about him, which I often do, and then Van Morrison, Brown Eyed Girl, will come on the radio, mm-hmm. you know, which is... one of his songs for me, just little things all the time that just let me know I'm right here, I'm right here, I'm right here, I'm right here.
Yes.
And when my kids are going through times that are really, when they're struggling, I know that he's with them. So I know I am not alone. And that he is still with me.
And
for me, that's really important because I never wanted to not be with him.
Yes.
So I'm glad I still am.
And all of us, all of our loved ones are with us. That's, you know, what we give ourselves an opportunity to remember when we read such beautiful books as the two of you have written together so lovingly and with friendship, is that we're never alone. No matter whether we have a significant other or we don't, we're never alone. And the beautiful thing is that when we're not afraid to die, then we won't be afraid to live. And that's what we're here to do, is we're here to live, not here to just wait to die. We're here to live.
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies, of course, a half hour always goes by so swiftly. So I want to thank you so much for taking the time to put this life experience to this beautiful book, Beyond Ever After. And I encourage all my readers to go to Amazon and to take a look at this book and download that book or get the hard copy of the book. It's beautiful. It's life-changing. And I want to thank you both for being willing to offer to humanity the truth of who we are as human beings. We're spirit in a body and experiencing life. So thank you, ladies. I really appreciate it. This is Elaine Grohman, Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. And you too can be in the moment, in the presence of the love that you are, every moment of the day.